We're turning to the book of Joshua. We're up to chapter 2. We're covering chapter 2 tonight. And we've just been singing about the Lord preparing brimstone, fire, and a burning wind. And we just read in chapter 1 that the people of God are going to go into the land of Canaan. And it's going to be holy war. So why this chapter about this woman? In chapter 1, we have a lot of things that are told us, but Joshua's name stands out. In chapter 2, Rahab's name. Is this holy war? What's going on? Starting at verse 1. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be coming to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fjord, unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when he came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom he utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And the man answered her, "Our life for yours, if we utter not this our business, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." And she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way." And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this thine oath without which thou hast made us to swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall dwell with thee, shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear." And she said, "According to your word, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain, and abode there 3 days, until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told them all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly, the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land. For even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. The precious word of the living and the true God. Well, chapter 2 begins with an echo. It's an echo of something that happened before. That's what an echo is. In Numbers 13, spies were sent into the land. Joshua was one of them. In fact, that's the chapter in which he gets his name. That means Jehovah is salvation. Joshua was one of them. But the people were afraid to go into the land. Now, God has said in so many different ways in chapter 1, the land is yours. It's a fulfillment of my promise. Every place that you place your foot, you will conquer. So there's an echo. And the people of God know that God has prepared them for this time. And yet they're at this place called Shittim, which, if you know your Bibles, is a place that shows up in Numbers 25. A place where the people of God committed physical and spiritual adultery. And so it's an amazing moment in the history of redemption. The people of God are supposed to go in and battle by holy war. And yet their past shows them great adultery. And irony of ironies, the place where these spies are going to go is a harlot's house. But she's not just any harlot. She's one who the Lord has determined to save. She's one who's going to be brought into the family. This woman is important. In fact, the spies are actually told to specifically view the land, especially Jericho. You see, God can fight the battles in many different ways. He's done this with Gideon. He's going to do this in Jericho. He's able to fight the battles by having Moses' arms held up. He's able to fight in multiple ways. But he's focused upon Jericho. He's focused on Jericho for a particular reason. Because there's a woman in Jericho that is going to be important in the history of redemption. The battle, the holy war, it would seem to men, would have to do with constructing ways to cross the Jordan, getting enough spears, making sure our men know how to shuck and jive and parry. You know, those technical terms, battle. No. This is a battle that involves the soul of a woman and her family. Through this woman, they will get a lens on the entire operation. When they go to the house of this woman, they will begin to understand what the Lord has done in providing them the land at the time that he promised, through the means that he has ordained. And so they must go to this place. They go as spies, two men going to spy secretly. We're not told who they are. What's important is that they go to the harlot's house named Rahab. Her name is important. Rahab, in this overall story, as we get to chapter 7, is contrasted with Achan. Achan is one of God's people. But he behaves in an evil and unrighteous manner. Rahab is the opposite. She's a Gentile. She's one of the people of the land. She's a prostitute. She lives on the town wall. The men go to lodge there. We're not told exactly why. It's clear that they were not going there to meet the prostitute for those purposes. They were there to spy on the land. But the king of Jericho finds out right away. What kind of a battle is this? The spies are there, and already the king knows that they're there. But you see, what's about to happen is orchestrated by God for this, for the very purpose of giving the people of God confidence that they can take the land and to reclaim this soul and her family, to make her part of the family. So the king of Jericho finds out right away. He says, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. He already knows the purpose why they're there. Now they expect that the spies who are going to search out the country are going to spend some time going around the country and spying on it, looking around, like the city inspectors or something. They're going to spend their entire time in this one house. And God is going to give them everything that they need to know. So already, the king and the people that are serving him are thrown off because of what they expect spies to be doing. You see, God is fighting this battle in a different way. He's fighting a spiritual battle. He's fighting for the soul of an individual and her family who is going to be delivered when the land is taken. King of Jericho goes right to Rahab. How does he know to go right to her house? How does he know where the men are? She's not well known. He's piecing it together. He's the king. He knows the city of Jericho, and he goes right to her house and says, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. They're spies. State your loyalty, Rahab. Are you loyal to Jericho? Are you loyal to this land? This land where these spies now are? Bring them forth. And already we see the problem for Rahab. She's choosing between two kingdoms. But she's heard a few things about the Israelites who are coming into the land. So tell us in a little while. In fact, this whole chapter is designed to show you what is most important for you to know is this dialogue between Rahab and the spies. The king's response, the king's concerns are going to fade away. Because what's most important is this dialogue with Rahab. Rahab is going to express what she knows about the living God and how that has enabled her to express her loyalty. She already knows the direction in which she's going. Look at what she does in verse 4. The woman took the two men and hid them and said, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. She's misdirecting the king of Jericho. She's chosen her side already. She's already expressing her loyalty. People like to argue about Rahab and the truth. But the Word of God is going to weigh in on how Rahab expressed her faith. That is the ultimate thing here. Rahab is expressing her loyalty to the people who have come to her, just whom she has just met, because she has already heard about the God of Israel. And she has already been prepared to defend those who come from his side, which is what she does. There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I went, what not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. What she's saying is, I don't know where they went. They went out. They went out past the gates. Go go fast in that direction. Well, the king and his messengers don't stop to say, I wonder if she's telling the truth. Because they're familiar with the actions of men who come to a house like this. They leave in the middle of the night. They leave so that no one will notice them. That's why the spies are able to go into this place. That's why this is a safe house for them. It's because it's a place where people just come and go. And so it's a believable story to them from the perspective of the people of Jericho. But instead, Rahab brought them up to the roof, and she hid them with the stalks of flax which she laid in order upon the roof. She provides for them a place to hide, a place to stay. Overnight, perhaps, but it's only going to be a little bit of time. Because now the king knows. But everything that the spies need to take back to Joshua a report is going to be provided through their dialogue with Rahab. The men pursued after them to Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. Ironic. They go out. Oh, we must be on their trail because they shut the gate behind us. Now they can't get back in. We've got them. But they're still inside. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And here's the real center of this story. What Rahab says. She's a Canaanite. She's from Jericho. She's a prostitute. And yet she knows quite a bit about the actions of the living God in the history of redemption. Listen to what she knows. I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. She's already given them, in the first sentence, the thing that they take back in the report at the end of the chapter. The thing that is, to them, the key that assures them that God's promise is being demonstrated in their investigations. The people are deeply afraid. God has provided for them knowledge of how terribly strong he is and how he acts through his people. And she gives examples. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when we came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom he utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. Okay, so what does Rahab know so far? God has dried up the waters of the Red Sea for the people of God as they left Egypt, and he has defeated Sihon and Og, utterly destroying them. And she knows that the people of the land are terrified. But then she says something that is remarkable. It's almost like she has been listening to a Jewish catechism. Because in Deuteronomy 4, the same kind of language is used. Because in Jonah chapter 1, when they ask Jonah who he is, he talks in this way. This is the way that the Psalms speak of God. She says something that is so orthodox and right as the basis of her confidence. Look at what she says. The Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. The Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 37 to 39, reads like this. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he hath chosen their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God, in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. In the context where through Moses, God is saying that the land belongs as an inheritance to God's people, which he's already been saying in Joshua chapter 1 multiple times. This statement is made. The foundation statement. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God, in heaven above and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. None of these gods of the land of Canaan are able to stand against the Lord. He is the God. And Rahab knows this. By the work of the Spirit of God, Rahab has heard the testimony of God's mighty works, and she believes that he is the God of earth and heaven. She has placed her faith in that God. She has switched sides. She's hiding the spies. She's expressing her loyalty to the God of the Israelites, who she knows about through the testimony that she's heard. Her heart has been prepared to have this faith. She has heard this report, and she has seen the impact upon people who encounter this great God. And she knows. She says it in her first sentence, that the land belongs to the Israelites. Which is exactly what God has said in chapter 1 to Joshua. Rahab knows who the real God is. So then she asks them to show kindness to her father's house and save them alive, because she knows that Jericho will be taken. Save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and all my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. She knows what the conquering of the land means. And she is asking for herself and her family to be saved, to be delivered. And in chapter 6, it happens. The men answered her, "Our life for yours, if he utter not this our business." See, the main concern that they have is just a little bit of time. We know that the land belongs to the people of God. We just need time to get out of Jericho. So don't utter our business to the king or to the people that are after the spies, so that they can make it back and give the positive report that they need to give to Joshua, to give the people another piece of confidence. God has already promised, he's already said multiple times, be strong and courageous, but now he's giving them testimony from the people of the land through Rahab. But they're afraid. They know who's going to take the land. It's the people that belong to the God of earth and heaven. They just need a little bit of time. Utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, it's a sure thing at this point, that we will deal kindly and truly with you. And she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. So she hangs out a cord in there, rappelling down the cord, like any good spy movie, like a group of college students, maybe. They're going down, being held by one who has faith in the living God. Look at the confidence that they have in what she's said. She's holding on to the cord, and they're going down the cord. And she ties it securely or something. She doesn't have to hold her whole weight. But she could cut it. They trust her at this point. They believe in the same God. They're on the same side. She's helping them get away. And by the time we get to the New Testament, in Hebrews 11:31, that will be described as an act of faith on Rahab's part. And so we have the testimony of the Word of God, not just my opinion, that she comes to faith. That Rahab comes to faith in the Lord of earth and heaven. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. So she lets down this cord. She gives them instructions on how to get away. Go to the mountain. They're going to pursue you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers be returned. And afterward, may you go your way. And so the men assure her that they mean it on their side. We will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come to the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. This is the sign that you show Rahab. When we come to Jericho, we see this sign. It's kind of like a little dim reflection of the Passover. Now, a lot of people have talked about the cord that Rahab let down and tried to weave that through the history of redemption. It's a cord. It was a means by which the men were let down. It's a means by which she can give a sign to them. They're going to pass by her house. The destruction will not come to that house if that cord is laid down. Probably a common cord, something that you know, wouldn't make her stand out. Probably something that she used at another occasion. We don't know. It's not going to bring destruction to her from the people of Jericho. And it's not going to bring destruction to her from the conquerors of Jericho. Because she's going to be saved by it. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his own head, and we shall be guiltless. You have to stay inside the house. These are the terms. Put down the cord, stay inside the house. We have sworn an oath, and we're blameless. We are going to keep our side of the oath that we have sworn. We're not going to go into holy war breaking an oath. They made an agreement with someone who's in the land. Doesn't God say at certain points not to do that? See, all of this looks very different to the spies who have heard the testimony from her mouth of one of the most basic catechetical statements of faith that you can make as an Israelite. The Lord our God is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. She is saying something that comes right out of Deuteronomy 4. They know she's on their side because they believe in the same God. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. Making it clear, can't switch sides again. Only one switching of sides allowed in this battle. If you're on our side, you stay on our side. If anybody in your house gets out of the building, we'll consider them to be on Jericho's side. and this is war. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. She means it. She sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came to the mountain. They stayed there 3 days. The pursuers can't find them. They go and pass over the Jordan the second time. And they go to Joshua, specifically described as the son of Nun, and they tell him, the one who gave the good report back in Numbers 13 now hears this report from these two spies. The history of redemption has come full circle. Now Joshua is the leader, and he hears this good report. He already knows what God has said. Now he hears the testimony of the spies, who only went to one city, to one house, but they have heard a testimony that enables them to have confidence that the entire land is afraid of the living God. And this action of Rahab is put into the same paragraph in the book of James as the faith of Abraham. This isn't just some short-lived confession of faith. Well, maybe I was wrong. I was trying to switch sides. I was trying to save my skin. I take it all back. I'm going to the King of Jericho. No. The book of James actually puts it this way. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. We see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. It's a long discussion that's talking about how our faith is expressed in our works. A faith in the living God, a faith through Jesus Christ, is expressed in the way that we follow through. And then, the Word of God says in chapter 2, verse 25, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. Rahab is commended in the Word of God in chapter 11 of Hebrews for faith, and in chapter 2 of James for demonstrating her faith by the action that she took on behalf of the spies in a time of war as they were surveilling the land, expressing that she was on the side of the living God. And Rahab is going to be saved with her family in chapter 6. Now, why is she so important? Why is Rahab so important that an entire chapter, before they even cross over the Jordan, is devoted to this in the book of Joshua? We've already had a chapter that prominently displays Joshua's name. Rahab is here. It's because of something that is woven into the history of redemption, which you already know about if you know your Bibles. Rahab appears in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5 as part of the family tree of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5 says, Salmon got Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king. Rahab is in the line of David the king. And that line points all the way in the Gospel of Matthew to the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 16. Rahab is not only in the family of God, she's in the family tree of Jesus Christ. Now we see why it was so important that these spies going into Jericho go to her house, receive the testimony from her lips, make a commitment to her that they're going to save her life and her family's life, and are protected themselves by their actions, actions which express her loyalty to the living God. That's the big story. Did Rahab lie? Yes. Was it wrong? Yes. But Rahab is commended in the Word of God because her actions displayed her faith in the true living God, the loyalty that she had to Him. And it's through the Lord Jesus Christ that all of us are saved from our sins, including those who are in His own family tree. Because you see, in this world, God is engaging in holy war. And the real battle, you see, is for the souls of men and women, and boys and girls, and their families.